Jake, probably the biggest episode we've ever done right now.
It's one for the ages.
Novelist. Let me just throw some books out. Maybe you've heard of The Pack. Have you heard of The Pack?
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, The Craving.
I have had many cravings.
You have had cravings, and you may have read the book. But writer of Wolverine Max, Jason Starr, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Jason, in a previous interview, you've said your favorite character in all of comics is Wolverine. So my question is, can we be best friends forever?
If you want to. If you, if I'm not upsetting another best friend.
That's fine. I don't need it.
I don't want to come between you guys. I know you sound really close.
I don't need any other best friends that do not like Wolverine. But I'm a big Wolverine fan, so I'm super excited to talk about Wolverine Max. I've been reading Wolverine for decades. I'm 29. Spoiler. But, you know, what can a Wolverine, you know, reader expect in Wolverine Max that maybe they're not getting elsewhere?
I wanted to do a different version of Wolverine. I mean, as you alluded to, the character has a long history and done by many great artists and creators before. So the challenge going in is to try to do something different, put a different spin on it. So, in doing so, I also wanted to take advantage of what I could do with the Max label, sort of push the envelope in ways that we couldn't do before, you know, writing Wolverine for PG, PG-13 audiences. So I wanted to take advantage of the strong R rating I was able to work with, and also, you know, put a new spin on Wolverine at the same time, but not do it gratuitously, not just do R rating for the sake of R rating, but really stay true to his character and kind of bring out aspects of his character that might have been a little bit suppressed over the years.
Yeah, you had a good quote that when I was trying to think of how to describe the Max line to someone, you said it may not be gratuitous, the Max label, but it means real and it means honest.
Yeah, that's how I see it. You know, because, you know, I think sometimes when you think of the Max label, you might think, oh, you know, you could have the F-bombs and violence. I don't really see it that way. I see it as just being real and being honest because, you know, comics are violent, you know. Mm-hmm. And to me, sometimes in some cases when the violence happens off screen, it's kind of almost like a censoring of the reality of, you know, what impact, for example, his claws will make when you know, viciously attack somebody. You know, now that we can go all the way with it, it's kind of just gives you like a realistic version. It's not, I don't see it as like just an opportunity to be gory for the sake of gory, but to really show the impact of violence. And it's such a big part of who Wolverine is that I just think he's just, you know, a natural character for the imprint.
You know, I really appreciated your quote, because for a really long time, I thought Wolverine Max was actually about a Wolverine named Max. So I was really confused about the Max line.
Someone told me that the other day, that, you know, someone who didn't know comics said, who's Wolverine Max? Is that him?
The, some of my favorite Wolverine stories, Wolverine Noir is one of my favorites because it was like a totally different take on his origin, and it was one of my all-time favorites. And it reminds me of this of Wolverine Max, because it opens with Wolverine you know, after a plane crash, and he pretty much has amnesia, and he's not sure you know, how he got there or if he was even a part of it. And it's some pretty cool stuff when he, you know, he uses his claws for the first time. Even Jake mentioned is that he's literally just gushing blood out of his hands. And it's not kind of like his, I'm not sure if in the Marvel 616 universe his body is like used to that, but you would assume that he would still be gushing blood every time he uses his claws.
Right. Yeah. So they could show detail like that they couldn't really show before.
And another, and I keep referencing some of Wolverine's history, but another interview, you had mentioned that Rucka's run on Wolverine is one of your favorites. And it's true. Like, they haven't had a Rucka-esque Wolverine story in a long time. And people that try to get into Wolverine, that's one of the books I recommend, because It's like a really stripped down take, and usually those are the best Wolverine stories to have.
Which story was that?
That's when it's called The Brotherhood, where he's kind of just like this ugly looking short guy that keeps to himself reading books in an apartment, and then a waitress that kind of takes an interest into him gets kidnapped, and then he's like forced to kind of get involved.
Oh.
Yeah, and the reason I referenced that one, because I've read a fair number, most of the past Wolverine incarnations. It was a very realistic take. Like it showed how Logan could, realistically be functioning in the world. Mm-hmm. And so this is a version of Logan where there's no reference to the other X-Men. And I wanted readers to believe that he could actually fit into the real world. And I loved the way Greg did that in his version. This is a different spin because I think I'm adding some other elements to it, but that definitely was an inspiration for me and an idea of like where I thought the character could go in the future.
I usually ask this, if we do have someone that's a novelist, I usually ask them about what do you find easier, writing a novel or a 22-page monthly treatment?
I wouldn't describe either as easy. I kind of like going back and forth between the two mediums because they're so different. Mm-hmm. When I'm writing a novel, I'm so in my own head. Writing comics is such a collaboration. I started out writing for theater, actually. Mm. And this form, writing for comics, is really the thing that really reminds me most of that. It's because it's not really just the writing. It's also, obviously the art is kind of like in a theater where, in a play where you have the actors and a director and set designer. Very similar in comics. It feels kind of the same way. It's nice to collaborate and to kind of have a vision that's not necessarily my own.
Yeah.
It's a nice balance is the best way I could describe it.
And your father is a writer too. I just saw he has like a book out now. So I guess it just sticks in the family.
Yeah, he's a nonfiction writer. He has a new book out right now. I guess that, I definitely saw his experiences writing over the years. Mm-hmm. And he writes very different types of books than me. He's not very creative. He's writing nonfiction books.
Right.
But definitely the discipline that goes into writing.
I don't think I've ever known a father and son writing team. It's interesting, what gets passed down.
There's lots of art teams.
I'm not going to collaborate with them.
No. You'll be collaborating on Wolverine Max, issue 20, I don't think, anytime soon. But that would be hilarious and awesome. But in your free time, what do you find yourself reading?
I read a lot of novels and a lot of comics also. Love a lot of the Marvel stuff I've been reading now. In books, I just read a book, The Empty Glass, which was really great, by Jim Baker. So I read a lot of crime fiction. I read Warren Ellis's
Gun Machine
novel recently. Yeah, Gun Machine. I thought it was really great.
Yeah.
So I try to mix it up. Like, I don't try to read any one genre. I read a lot of nonfiction. But definitely a lot more comics these days. It's probably overloaded toward comics.
Yeah. What do you think your all-time favorite Wolverine story is? Let's talk about it right now.
I would probably say the Rucka one because I really like that a lot, but yeah. Definitely the Claremont Miller. No Wolverine in the 90s. There's definitely some influence of that, I would say, in what I'm doing now. Just not only in the sense the major similarities that both arcs that take place in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely wanted to bring Wolverine back to his roots, so to speak. And I don't know, there's something just feels very classic to me about having Logan in Japan that just feels right. And it was fun in this version to go back to the samurai era because this is a more, I got some flexibility with his timeline. So this, I haven't even explored how far back I'm going to go, but this is more of an ageless Wolverine, so I get to can go into different time periods, and I'm not sticking to the origin story. So it was definitely been fun to go back to Samurai Era and do things like you couldn't do previously.
Yeah, I think the movie is taking place in modern day Japan. The Wolverine movie that's coming out, so I can't wait for
it. Is, and that was not like, you know, that's not the main reason why we're doing it in Japan, but I'm definitely aware of that synergy. You know, I think ironically, I think there are going to be some similarities. Mariko is a character in both in the movie and in my version. So, and but I think it's going to be a lot of differences also. So.
If there's any similarities with the movie, you can just say that they ripped you off. That, I think that would just be to your benefit, really. Jason, I'm from a Wolverine fan. I really enjoyed, you know, Wolverine Max. I hope people check it out. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.